Penguin Random House Audio presents Design Social Change, Take Action, Work Toward Equity, and Challenge the Status Quo by Leslie-Ann Noel and the Stanford D School. Read for you by the author with a note from the D School, read by Scott Dawley. This is the author, Leslie-Ann Noel. Note to listeners, this program includes a bonus PDF which contains the positionality wheel, the emotion wheel, and the recommendations for further reading from the book.
A note from the D School. At the Stanford D School, design is a verb. It's an attitude to embody and a way to work. The core of that work is trying to the best of one's abilities to help things run more smoothly, delight more people, and ease more suffering. This holds true for you too, whether design is your profession or simply a mindset you bring to life. Founded in 2005 as a home for wayward thinkers, the D School was a place where independent-minded people could gather, try out ideas, and make change. A lot has shifted in the decade or so since, but that original exuberant and resourceful attitude is as present today as it was then. Our series of 10 designers' guides is here to offer you the same inventiveness, insight, optimism, and perseverance that we champion at the D School. Like a good tour guide, these handbooks will help you find your way through unknown territory and introduce you to some fundamental ideas that we hope will become cornerstones in your creative foundation. Train your mind to see the present so you can shape the future in experiments and reflection. Go from idea to reality with Make Possibilities Happen. And in this book, Design Social Change, take a good look at the causes and effects of oppression and find out how to unwind them to make this a more equitable world. Love, the D School.
Introduction. If you find yourself thinking of cooking and food as you listen to this book, it is not accidental. This book began as a cookbook. Yes, you heard that correctly. The seed for this book was a food analogy I've been using in the design classes that I've been teaching for several years. I ask my students, can we cook up change? What if making a change that mattered was as easy as mastering ingredients and combining them the right way? What if we could just open our pantry, mix up some ingredients, and make some change? What ingredients and techniques do we need to learn to stir up change? Salmon Nosrat's cookbook, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat, opens with the sentence, "Anyone can cook and make it delicious." I've been a product designer and a design educator for more than 20 years. And that's how I feel about design and social change. Everyone can do this and make it good. Of course, the ingredients for change are a bit different from those for my favorite Tobogonian dish, curried crab and dumplings. However, I find the process of designing the change you want to see in the world can be similar to following a recipe. It requires an understanding of ingredients. In this case, those ingredients are things like anger about unfair treatment for you or others, joy about personal successes, and empathy for people who are oppressed. It requires a vision of the finished dish, a knowledge of the steps and methods, and maybe most importantly, the courage and agency to change the process to suit your own style, what you have on hand, and each individual project. Your design recipes will turn out even more tasty if you add some special ingredients of your own. This book is a place to start. It's about challenging the status quo. It is about learning to see what is not enough for you, especially if you are from an underrepresented group. It is about learning to see what is not enough for other groups in society around you. It's about identifying needs, making demands, and making change. And to do that, we'll use social justice concepts like building critical awareness, equity concepts like recognizing oppression, and design concepts like prototyping. This book is design-based and design is action-based, so I hope you will create change through action. Throughout this book, you will be introduced to new concepts, theories, and methods that you can learn to combine to make the change you need. The change I am talking about is social change, the kind of change that led to the abolition of slavery in the Americas, the civil rights movement in the United States, the end of apartheid in South Africa, women's rights around the world, workers' rights, new labor laws in the 20th century, and more. This book is about making the kind of change that will have a lasting impact on social practices. It's about the type of change that moves people beyond surviving to thriving. To achieve this, you need to know who you are and what motivates you as a change maker. You need an awareness of the forces preventing you and others from thriving. And you need to make a conscious effort to design out these forces on individual and collective levels. In this book, the Your Turn activities will help you get to work with the concepts, and the Take Note sections will more deeply inform you on each topic. Throughout, you will find references to food, design, and personal stories that I and other people have shared. I hope these will help you reflect on the impact of social change. Design is a powerful change maker. Part of this power comes from the tools and process of design being able to adapt to fit your context, your style, and your community. You don't have to be a designer, and you don't have to accept tradition to use design for change. This book will show you how to get comfortable trying things out, exploring different methods, and using various approaches to design for equitable change. If it isn't perfect, it's okay. You can adapt and try again. What's important is taking that creative risk. Let's get to work stirring up change to create more equitable futures. 1. What's wrong? Building critical awareness. Know yourself. If I give you flour and water and ask you to make something by adding a few more ingredients, chances are that what you make will be different from what I make. I am from Trinidad and Tobago, and with those base ingredients, I might make either bake, a type of bread with no yeast, or boiled dumplings. Depending on where you are from or the ingredients that you have on hand, you might make pizza, festival, chapatis, mandazis, sonios, or even glue. You probably wouldn't say another person has made the wrong thing just because they make something different from you. Intuitively, you know that different people will make different things with flour and water. You might even be curious to know what other people will make, because you understand that your identity, your worldview, and past experiences, in other words, your positionality, will affect how you use the ingredients you have. Declaring your positionality is a reflective practice of thinking about who you are, your identities, your social position, and how these affect your work. I learned the importance of declaring one's positionality while doing research as a graduate student. While some areas of research demand that you be objective and not bring your history and identity into the work you're doing, other areas of research recognize that this is impossible and invite you to reflect on who you are while you do the research. Qualitative researchers, that is, researchers who collect data using qualitative methods like interviews and observation, often create a positionality statement so that the person who reads the research can understand who made it and how their biases might show up. We don't need to hide our identities from our work. Who we are shows up in everything we do, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. When we embrace our identities, our work becomes much richer as we bring these identities in. Knowing who I am informs what I want.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?